Hello, this is Pastor Ryan Clark. You are listening to a message from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota.
O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall declare your praises in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you only had one day left to live, and you knew it, what would you do with your time? That's right, we are cutting right to the chase today, very serious here from the get-go. If you knew you only had 24 hours left to live after the shock wore off, what are some things that you would do? I actually scoured the internet of all places to see how people would respond to this specific prompt, and their answers were all over the map. A lot of people said something along the lines of, well, if I knew today was my last day on earth, I'd just call together my family and friends and express my deep love and thanks for all they've done for me. I'd just want to gather together with those that I'm closest to and spend time with them and tell them everything I've always wanted to tell them. That's what I would do if I knew today were my last day. Some people, a lot of people in fact, were a little more self-centered in their answer to this question. Some people said, if I knew today were my last day on earth, I'd just love myself. I'd spend all my money that I could on me, me, and me. I'd spend every cent I could on things like fancy meals for me. I'd rent a fancy car for me. One guy said he'd rent a jetpack for himself. I'd spend it all on me, 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 and I'd want that last check to bounce as I spend it on me. A lot of people answered like that. Some people were a little more mundane in their answers. In fact, a lot of people said, if I knew today were my last day, I'd just live a normal day. I'd get up when the alarm went off, have myself a little eggs and toast, go work my 9 to 5, pick up a Domino's pepperoni pizza on the way home, eat that bad boy, watch a little TV and call it a night and call it a life. That's what I'd do if I knew today were my last day. Some people were even a little humorous in their response to that prompt. In fact, one response made me laugh a little bit out loud when I read it the first time. One guy said, if I knew I had 24 hours to live, I would send an email to all my friends and set it to delay send for a couple of weeks. And a couple of weeks later, when they got that email after his demise, it'd say, hey, heaven now has internet. Seriously. If you only had one day left to live, what would you do? How would you answer that question? We're going to talk about that question and maybe what your response should be as we continue our sermon series, Made for Community, God's Plan for Us. In this sermon series, we're talking about what God-pleasing interactions with one another look like based on the one another passages that we can find throughout the Bible. And today's passage that we're going to focus on is 1 Peter 4:7 through 10. Which starts off with these words, the end of all things is near. Peter wants whoever picks up this letter and read it to understand that our time here on earth, it's short, that we should be living each and every day like it's our last, that Jesus will be returning soon, and that there are some things we should be accomplishing for one another with that in mind. And after this thought, he goes on to list 4 one another's that he wants us to accomplish, that God wants us to accomplish with our short time here on earth. He wants us to pray for one another, offer hospitality to one another, serve one another, and love one another. That's what we should do if we're to act like each day is our last. And by the way, aren't these the exact things that Jesus did on his last day before he died? And correct me if I'm wrong, aren't we supposed to be imitators of Christ? We're going to talk about those one another's. We're going to talk about how Jesus did those things on his last day before the cross. And I'm going to challenge you to do them too. Let's dig into our passage right now. 1 Peter 4:7. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. And in the context of this passage, it's pray for one another. We are called to pray for one another a lot. Didn't Jesus spend quite a bit of time in prayer on his last day after all? And if we look at our gospel lesson today in John 17, Jesus' high priestly prayer, the prayer that he prays in the upper room on the very night that he is betrayed, we can see what's on Jesus' prayer list. He prays for his disciples and those who will become his disciples. That's you. That's me. In John 17:11, he prays, Father, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. Essentially, he says, Father, I'm leaving, and I love them, and I am entrusting them over to you. Take care of them. And for you, Jesus prays all kinds of things with his waning minutes here on earth. Jesus prays for his disciples that God would protect them and keep them safe. He prays for his disciples that God would give them the full measure of joy within them. He prays that you would have the joy of Jesus within your heart. Jesus prays for his disciples that God would remind them that they are not of the world, in the world, but not of the world. He prays that God would remind them that they have been sent into the world with a purpose, that we are not to be aimless with our time here on earth. He prays for his disciples that God would sanctify them by the truth through the Spirit and God's word. Essentially, he prays that those who are his disciples would spend regular time with God and in the Bible. And he even prays for his disciples that God would remind them that they are made for community and that they'd be brought to complete unity with one another. That's God's plan and purpose for you. And honestly, that last one, it sounds pretty familiar. I feel like I've heard that somewhere before. And after Jesus gets done praying that high priestly prayer, he goes out to the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples, where he spends so long in prayer that his disciples have to be woken up several times. I'm not going to put an exact number on it here, but let's just say that Jesus probably spent several hours in prayer on his last day before he goes to the cross and dies. And if we're to live each day like it's our last and live each day like Jesus lived his last, the question for you is, how much do you spend praying on the average day? We've gone over the stats before, right? It's going to be measured in seconds, most likely, not hours. The average Christian spends 1 minute a day in prayer, and most of that minute is spent around the dinner table doing their dinner time prayers. It's usually pretty convicting when we talk about this, isn't it? Rather than just being sad and convicted, respond to that conviction and start spending some time praying for one another. There's no time like the present to develop this habit. You're still here, which means you can still start praying for one another. So my challenge for you this week, at least one of them, is this. I want you to make a list of people and pray for them. And if you're struggling to make a list of people to pray for, go ahead and grab your bulletin right now. Look at the back of it. Someone do it. And you can see at the bottom of your bulletin, there is a list of people at St. John's as part of your St. John's family that have asked you to pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them the things that Jesus prayed for you on his last day. Pray that God would protect them and give them his joy and remind them of their purpose and that they are in the world, not of the world, and empower them to spend time in community with one another. Pray for one another. That's one of the things we should be doing if we are to live each day like it's our last and like Jesus lived his last. We should also be offering hospitality to one another. Our passage today says, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Now, this idea of hospitality in the Bible, it is very, very, very important. From a biblical standpoint, hospitality is the generous and loving reception of guests, often through a meal, even strangers, as a demonstration of God's love and a reflection of one's faith. How did Jesus show hospitality to others on his last day before he went to the cross? Don't overthink it now. I believe he rents out a room and he has some of his best friends over, and they share a meal together. Now, Jesus could have had all kinds of excuses not to offer hospitality to his disciples. He could have looked at his agenda and said, wow, things are getting pretty busy. It's a little overwhelming right now. Maybe some other time. Or he could have looked at something coming up on that schedule later on that day and said, you know what? I'm a little bit nervous about this. Maybe after that occurs, then I'll be ready to offer some hospitality to you. But he doesn't use those excuses, even though he sure could have, right? No, he gathers his friends together. He offers hospitality to them. And in doing so, he accomplishes some pretty incredible things in their lives, things that are accomplished in others' lives when we offer hospitality to them. When we get together throughout the week as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are like iron sharpening iron. We encourage one another. We remind each other of our purpose. We even help others use some of those gifts that God has given them. There are gifts that we cannot use by ourselves, where we need one another to use them. Now, sadly, we are not gathering together anywhere near as much as we should. Every statistic says we are more connected now than at any point in history, and yet we are not spending actual time together regularly. And that's very sad. And you know who loves that we're not offering hospitality to one another? Satan, the enemy. He's going to put all kinds of excuses in your head to just remain by yourself all week long. You're going to look at your schedule and say, wow, I'm pretty busy. Maybe later I'll get together with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Or man, there's something on my schedule that I'm pretty nervous about. Maybe after that's done, then I will get together with my brothers and sisters in Christ. But Jesus didn't use those excuses on his last day before the cross, and neither should we. And so I've got a second challenge for you this week. Look at your schedule and find some time to either host or get together with a fellow believer and enjoy the community that God has planned for you. This does not necessarily need to take place at your house. You can meet someone out to eat. You can meet them for a cup of coffee. You can take a sack lunch to the park and meet them there. And in doing these things, in gathering together and offering hospitality to one another, you're going to do all kinds of incredible things for your brothers and sisters in Christ, encourage them, and the like. Now, some of you might be looking at that challenge and saying, wow, Pastor Ryan, that's nice. I would love to gather together with other people, but I really don't have much of a community right now. If that's you, I've got a couple of resources that I want you to take advantage of over the coming weeks. The first one is this book by Jenny Allen. It's called Find Your People. It's a great book, and it does just what the title says it does. It helps you build community, the community that God has planned for you. The second resource that I want you to use is the life groups here at St. John's. Join a life group. Join a life season group. We have life groups for each and every age, for men, for women, for whatever it is that you're going through. Join a life group, and if I may, be open and honest about why you are there. Say, hey, I am here to form community. And I think you'll be surprised when other people say, yeah, that's exactly why we're here too. And I think there'll be all kinds of fruit from that. By the way, that book, Find Your People, there's a couple of copies over in the library here at St. John's if you want to pick one up. And I'll feel really sad if they're both still there after this service today. So we're to live each day like it's our last and like Jesus lived his last. So we should be praying for one another. We should be offering hospitality to one another, and we should be serving one another. Once again, from our reading, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. And once again, you probably don't have to think too hard about how Jesus served others on his last day before he dies on the cross. We talked about it just a few weeks ago, actually. Jesus spends some of his final hours before death doing one of the lowliest tasks that you could possibly imagine, in washing his disciples' feet. And he did this very purposefully, very intentionally. In fact, he tells us why he did it. He says, I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you. In other words, if we're to live each day like it's our last and like Jesus lived his last, we should be actively looking for ways to serve our brothers and sisters in Christ. And by the way, God has given you very specific gifts to do just that. It says, as each has received a gift. If you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior and have been baptized, you have the Holy Spirit within you, and he gives you his spiritual gifts. Everyone who has the Holy Spirit has at least one spiritual gift specifically given to them for serving others. Now you might be saying, well, Pastor Ryan, that's great. Everyone has gifts. I believe that because you just showed it to me in the Bible. But I'm just not quite sure what my gifts are. How can I go about figuring that out? It's a great question. I'm glad that you asked that. There are a couple of good ways that we can go about figuring out your spiritual gifts. Some people like to do things like take spiritual gift inventories or assessments that you can find online. Maybe that will help you out. But I have found that the easiest way to figure out what your gifting is, ask someone. If you're unsure what your gifts are, ask someone who is close to you, and odds are they have experienced that gift before. And by the way, one of the best things you could do for your brothers and sisters in Christ is let them know when their spiritual gift has impacted you. If someone has really encouraged you, say, "Hey, you really encouraged me the other day." Maybe that's your spiritual gift. If you tell someone to pray for you for something specific, and right after they start praying, that prayer gets answered, tell them, say, "Hey, you prayed for me and that prayer was answered." Maybe you have the gift of intercessory prayer. Whatever the gift is, find it out and use it. And that's actually my third challenge to you this week. Identify a gift you have that God has given specifically to you and use it to serve someone. He doesn't just give us these gifts to hang on to. We are to use them. Romans 12, it says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. If we are to live each day like it's our last, which we're supposed to, and like Jesus lived his last day, which we're supposed to do, we should be praying for one another a lot. We should be offering hospitality to one another. We should be serving one another. And we should be loving one another. 1 Peter 4:8, one of the best verses in Scripture right here. It says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. And we don't have to think too hard about how Jesus loved others in a way that covered over a multitude of sins on his last day. He carried the cross for you. He took a beating for you. He lived a perfect life for you, one where he was always hospitable, always serving others, always praying for others, always loving others. And despite being perfect, he takes his perfect self to the cross and dies just for you and for me, who so often don't do those things that we are called to do. And in doing so, he loves you in a way that covers over a multitude of sins. And whenever the Bible uses that word multitude, it means thousands and thousands and thousands. And in doing so, he gives you a fresh start to go out and love others like he has loved you. We're called to love others like Jesus has loved us. And by the way, we already talked about that Holy Spirit. He gives you his Holy Spirit, which gives you the power to pray for, give hospitality to, serve, and love one another. And if you're looking for a way to actively love one another this week, do those three challenges that I have already talked about today. So I ask again, if you only had one day left to live, what would you do? I hope you have an answer now, and I guess you know what I'm going to be praying for you this week. I pray that you live each and every day like it's your last and like Jesus lived his last day. This week and forevermore, may you be praying for one another, offering hospitality to one another, serving one another, and loving one another as Jesus has loved you. May you do this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a sermon from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. If you would like more information about St. John's and any of our ministries to our community and beyond, you can go to our website, www.stjohnsbuffalo.org. Thank you, and God bless you.